The Hard Rockin' Trivia Show is sponsored by Hard Rock Arena Radio. Listen at home at radionomy.com or listen on your mobile device on the TuneIn app or download the Hard Rock Arena Radio app at the iTunes App Store, BlackBerry World, or the Google Play Store.
On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, and here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
Pounding the world like a battering ram.
All right, everybody in podcast land, time for what we call rapid fire, where we try to stump each other with questions, trivia questions that may be hard, may be easy. Who knows? I guess it depends on if we've had our Wheaties or not. So are you ready for question number one?
I didn't have any Wheaties, but I had some Special K today, and I'm feeling pretty good.
Oh, well, I don't know.
All right.
We'll see. Okay, what was New England's highest charting single in the U.S.?
New England only had, two songs that charted.
Yep.
Don't Ever Want to Lose You, and I think it made number 39.
40.
Oh, it's close.
Oh, very close.
Damn it.
That was the highest they got.
I think the other one was Hello, 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 maybe charted, and but way in like the 70s, 80s. Yeah, too bad.
Yeah, it was up in the, something like that.
And what a great damn band. I think I'm going to go see them.
It should have been so much bigger.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Oh, well.
All right, question one for you. There is right or wrong answers, but can you name three bands with a triple guitar attack? And that's not counting bass, where they have three guitar players up there. It could be
three guitars.
Yep. Just name any three.
Let's see. I'll take Skynyrd.
Yep, that's why I got that one.
What's that band? That boogie band I've never even heard, but they're like huge in the UK.
I know who you're thinking of, but you're wrong.
Well, it's a three guitar band.
Are you thinking about Status Quo?
Yeah.
Two and a bass player.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Well, let me think of some other.
Because there's a couple of big, there's one really big one that most people don't think is three guitar players, but it is. I'm thinking they're a 70s band. A huge.
Huge 70s band.
They play their music all the time. On classic rock radio and some country radio, too.
And how about Boston?
We think. Yeah, because sometimes Brad Delp did play. Yeah, I'll accept that. Brad Delp sometimes played guitar on stage with Barry Goodrow and Tom Scholz. Yep, okay, we'll take that one. There's one huge one that you're missing that you're a huge fan of.
Oh, there's Iron Maiden who plays three now.
There you go, there's three. I was going to say, geez. All right. Anybody else you can think of?
Because
we're not accepting Status Quo, so you got to think of them. You got three. You said Skynyrd, Iron Maiden, and who else?
Boston.
And Boston. Okay, I'll accept that. That's a correct. Right. The one I was thinking of was the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Here's another one. April Wine.
Ooh.
Yeah, we saw them.
We saw that guitar attack.
One that does it not all the time, but sometimes is Blue Oyster Cult. I came up with that one. Yeah. Obscure one would be Leather Wolf. And then there's another one that the band is huge now. Stadium act in Europe and everywhere else. Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dave Grohl plays guitar with the two other guys.
He plays all the time.
Yeah, so there's quite a few triple axe attacks.
Yeah. Totally, yeah. That's, man, after you say them, you're like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So
there's probably a ton more.
So good. We are. You got that one. So go for it. My turn. So
one for two.
No, okay, you're one for one.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that was the first question. All right. Question number two for you. Where was Tommy Thayer's first gig with Kiss?
Oh, really?
Yep. You could just name the country. How about that?
First gig, first country. This better not be one of those. Okay, I'm going to say the United States.
No.
Okay, do I get a hint?
It was a private party on an island.
And it's a country? The island is a country?
Yes, it is. I've been there.
Oh, you've been to a lot of those. Caribbean. Oh.
It's in the Caribbean.
It's not Cuba, because you've never been to Cuba.
No.
St. Mark's.
No.
Bahamas.
Jamaica.
Jamaica. I thought it was going to be one of those obscure ones. Jamaica, really? Tommy Thayer's first gig was in Jamaica?
Yeah, at a private gig. He had been working for them doing all kinds of bullshit stuff. You know?
Yeah, I know. I saw him do that.
Yeah?
Yeah, at the when the Kiss convention were around, Tommy Thayer was not in the band at the time, and he was out in the parking lot, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. He'd be walking across past the line, and I knew who he was from Black and Blue, but he wasn't in Kiss at the time, so nobody else knew who the hell he was because he had short hair, the whole deal, you know.
Well, he produced that. He was like one of the main guys behind that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then he taught Ace and Peter their parts for this whole Kiss convention thing they did.
Yeah, and at this, I saw the one in Burbank. This is, you know, they had the Eric Singer, Kulik, and this one, Peter Criss came up and played with them. So it was just those five guys. It was really cool. And the opening band was a tribute band called Cold Gin.
Oh, wasn't he in that?
Yeah, he played Ace in that one. And Jamie St. James played drums. And they
pretty cool.
They were great, too. It was a great Kiss tribute band. So they had the tribute band play, and then Kiss, everybody sat down, and Kiss sat on their little stools and played all their stuff acoustic. It was fantastic. I was like 3 feet from Gene. It was awesome.
So you saw him screw up the whole time, right?
Oh, he screwed up sometimes, but they laughed. They had a good attitude about it. They were having a lot of fun. Because people were screaming out songs, and he didn't know half of them. He'd say a couple lines, and like, I don't remember that one. Sorry, guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, so question two for you, which is the real name game. We haven't played this one in a while. I'm going to give you a name.
Oh, boy.
The guy's real name, and you have to give me the rock star name. Some of these are going to be super obvious. Some are going to be a trick name that will fool you. So here we go. This guy's name, and it's a guy. His name, first name is spelled R-Y-N-I-A. I guess it's Rinia and his Lee Keel Jr. Rinia Lee Keel Jr. What do you think his rock star name is?
Ron Keel.
Correct. I thought maybe you'd not fall for that one. Like, oh. Okay, you got that one. So you are two for two.
When he went country, wasn't he like Ronnie Lee Keel?
He was Ronnie Lee Keel. Yeah, I forgot about the Ronnie Lee Keel era, but his first name is Rinia. That's unusual, which I get the Ron. Ron is a lot easier to pronounce.
Yeah.
I wonder what background that is. It's got to be something like Eastern European or something. I don't know.
I have no idea.
So you're kicking my butt.
All right. So question number three for you. You're one for two right now. This is a tough one. Can you name the only two members of Slade that have been in the band since their inception?
Holy crap. Oh, God. Because I know Noddy Holder is the lead singer, and he's not in the band anymore. And then there's Jimmy Lee. I think his name is Jimmy Lee. He's not in the band anymore. Then there's then there's the guy who's like losing his hair and he's got the bad haircut. And I can't remember his damn name. Then there's the drummer, and I can't remember his name either, so I have failed on both accounts, so I don't know. There's no way I'm going to remember.
There's Dave Hill.
That's an easy name to remember.
Don Powell.
Yeah, they're still in it?
Yep.
Oh, God.
Been in it the whole time.
I love Slade, too, but yeah, sorry, guys. I couldn't remember Dave Hill. How easy is that to remember?
Well, that's just it. I mean, you remember Naughty, but you don't remember Dave Hill.
No, it's because when Naughty left. Dave Hill
sounds like a drummer for Priest.
Yeah, pretty much.
Might as well be.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you want to be that guy, but yeah, he's dead now. And
yeah.
Wow. All so right. I finished 1-3, so I've already lost. So this is a total bonus question for you since you're already 2-2. This one is a hard one. It's just a number answer because there's no way you're going to name these people. How many drummers have the Scorpions had in their career starting from 1967?
Jeez.
Though their first album came out, I'll give you a hint, their first album came out in 72, and the guy from 67 to 72 was their first drummer. So how many think they've had in their career? And how many can you name?
The only one I know is Herman's a German.
It's Herman Rarebell. Yeah, he's one of them.
I'm going to say they've had 6.
6 would be way off. The Scorpions have had 11 drummers.
Oh, man. 11.
11. Yeah, the first one was Wolfgang Dizani. He's the first one. He's only on the first album. Then they tried to find a replacement for old Wolfgang, and they came. It was Joe Weinman, Werner Lohr, and Helmut Eisenhut from 72 to 73. It's 3 guys. Then finally, after their second album, they found Jorgen Rosenthal for Flight of the Rainbow. So that's already 5 drummers and 2 albums.
Right.
Then they got rid of Jorgen Rosenthal and found another Jorgen Fletcher, and ditched him before the next album. Then they had a guy named Rudy Lenners who lasted 2 albums. Then Herman the German showed up in 77 and went all the way to 1995, where he left.
He got the big money.
Then for the Pure Instinct album, they got a session guy named Kurt Kress, and he only played on the album, and he was gone. Then they had James Kotak from 96 to 2016. He lasted 20 years. Now, he got some issues with the drugs and alcohol, so he's gone. And they replaced him with Motorhead's Mickey D. He's been there since 2016.
Cool.
11 drummers.
Jeez.
Who would have thought? And guess who wins this week?
Oh, that'd be me.
You win. You get to be the next drummer for the Scorpions. Even though you're a bass player.
Yeah, really.
So you're going to get replaced. Maybe Jorgen Rosenthal will come back, or Jorgen Fletcher.
Really?
I like those names. Helmut Eisenhut.
Yeah. Well, they definitely went with the Germans.
Yeah. And, well, they had an American. Actually, the last 2 guys, one's an American, and Mickey D, I believe, is Swedish.
Yeah, I think he is.
I think he played with, before Motorhead, I think he played with King Diamond, I think. Or Merciful Fate, or one of those bands way back in the day. But I guess been doing it forever. All right, so Big Winner, what are you going to do with your winnings?
I'll probably put it in the bank like all the rest of my money.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And all you people out there, go buy some Scorpion albums and help them pay them drummers.
Yeah. Go buy the first 2 because they're actually pretty good albums, but those guys need money.
The first 2 Scorpion albums? You know what? I've never heard the first 2 Scorpions albums.
No, I've heard the second one, I think.
Fly to the Rainbow and Lonesome Crow.
Yeah.
Lonesome Crow is kind of like a sick psychedelic album. But
I like them better with the, I'm more the Blackout and Love Drive phase.
Yeah, those are great too. I like the ones, late 70s ones I like the best. Well, I like them from late 70s to mid 80s is my favorite part. They're still awesome. They're still touring. Some of them are in their 70s now, so.
Jeez. Oy.
It's a good for them. Should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Come on. There's no German bands in there. Everybody talks about, hey, Kraftwerk should be in. Like, not Kraftwerk. Scorpions are
Kraftwerk.
Yeah, Kraftwerk. They've been on the ballot like 4 or 5 times, I think. I mean, when you think German rock, you think Scorpions. I mean, they play stadiums in like Greece and Russia. Yeah. Come on, people, really?
I'd choose. What's that industrial band over Kraftwerk?
Oh, Rammstein.
Yeah, Rammstein.
I don't think they've been around long enough, but yeah, Rammstein's better. Kraftwerk, come on. They had one hit, the Autobahn, I think, in the 70s. I can't even remember that. Oh, but they were so influential, Danny. Come on, Kraftwerk. Yeah.
They haven't influenced me at all.
No, not a bit. Yeah, who are they influencing? A couple of dorks. Whatever. So go buy some Scorpion albums, and we're boycotting Kraftwerk.
We support your boycott of Kraftwerk.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
If you enjoy the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, you can go to Spreaker.com and sign up for free to follow the show. All past episodes can also be streamed or downloaded at Spreaker.com.
Okay, fans out there. My wife and I went to go see a show on September 26th.
Who'd you go see?
I saw Jason Bueller from Saigon Kick, and then Jonathan Mover was his guest, who's a drummer who's currently playing in Saigon Kick, but he's played with everybody from Aretha Franklin, Mick Jagger. He was in GTR. He's also the guy who puts out Drummer Magazine.
Oh, really?
So this guy doesn't stink. So no, he's a real probably, good drummer.
He's probably a technical genius.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who's behind the scenes that nobody really knows about unless you're a drummer. So this was a show at the Hotel Cafe, which is on Cahuenga Boulevard in Hollywood, California. And it was one of those things they put on. I guess he was in town doing some session work. And they put it on at the last second. And like 2 weeks before the show, they just put it out there. Because it was only like from 7 to 8 o'clock at night. So it's a quick one. But they offered VIP tickets. So you can get it. If you got in at 6:15, you got to meet them. And hang out and have drinks before the show, because this is a pretty small club.
Oh, nice.
I'd say this place, packed, would probably hold 100 people.
Wow.
So my wife and I went up to dinner right down the street at a place called, what's that guy? Danny Trejo, the guy who played Machete. Remember, you seen that movie Machete?
Yeah.
Well, he's got a taco place called Trejo's Tacos right across the street. it was great.
Nice.
Best tacos, and my wife got a margarita. She says it's the best margarita she's ever had in her life.
Wow.
So, and that's saying a lot because, you know, she's from Mexico and they drink a lot down there. So Trejo's Tacos gets a big thumbs up for me in Cahuenga. So go. It's right near Amoeba Records. So and this place is a cool little place called the Hotel Cafe.
Yeah, so, I think Butch Walker put out an album from there.
Yeah, I saw Butch Walker there.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, in front of about 30 people.
Jeez.
So we get there after dinner about like 6:35. There's no line there or nothing. But we're supposed to get in at 6:45. This is all, you guys can go in. So we went in. We go in there. There's about 15 people there.
Oh, jeez.
Including Jason Bueller and Jonathan Mover. Just greeting people as they kind of hung out. So we're like,
wow.
I walk by them and it's like, oh, Sylvia, that's Jason Bueller right there. I mean, she didn't know. She had no idea who he was.
That's the guy we're coming to see.
Yeah, so you know, we're milling around a little bit. I get her a drink. And as I'm going to get her a drink, she's walking behind me, and Jason introduced himself to her. Hey, I'm Jason. Oh, I'm Sylvia. And I turn around.
Back off, Jason.
And there's a bonehead, and I turn around and say, hey, Jason, she has no idea who you are. Like a dumbass. It's like, oh. And I introduced myself and, you know, small talk chat here and there. And he was real friendly with everybody. Super nice guy. So we get the drink. We go sit. There's like these little round tables in front of the small little stage. There's probably like six, seven tables. So we sit down right in front. As we're sitting down there talking, Jason walks up and chats with us. Isn't that pretty cool? Is that your phone or my phone?
I don't know.
That was probably yours, but he comes down and just starts talking to us, like, hey, how you doing? It's like, oh, my God, Jason Bueller's talking to me. And I have these questions in my head. I couldn't think of one damn thing to say. You know, I've seen you guys before, and questions about music is made. I couldn't think of anything. But, you know, he was really cordial and talked to us for a couple minutes.
That's cool.
He told us, watch out. This is the mosh area right here where you guys are sitting. It's like, yeah. But I think we're there. He's tuning up. And I mean, we're literally 5 feet from the guy. You know, he sits down. Uh-huh. He's got his acoustic. And Jonathan Mover's not playing a drum kit. He's playing a thing he sits on. It looks like a little box.
Yeah, I've seen those.
I don't know what it's called, but that's what he was. But he was keeping the beat.
Oh yeah, and you can depending on where you hit it, you can make it play different sounds and stuff.
So he was playing that, and he was spot on, perfect as you'd imagine he would be.
Yeah.
So everybody who was there was totally into it and knew all the songs. So
did he play mostly Saigon Kick stuff?
Mostly. He played songs from the first three albums. Didn't play anything else obscure. Here's some of the songs he played. He played Hostile Youth, Coming Home, On and On, The Lizard, One Step Closer, Close to You. Oh, I forgot. I messed that one up. Sergeant Steve, Love Is On His Way. And he played some, he said he had some new songs that he just recorded this afternoon. Some ideas he want to play for us. Here's the songs he played. He played Wall of Voodoo's Mexican Radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he played the Hooters.
On Mexican Radio.
He played All You Zombies by the Hooters.
All right.
Pretty cool, huh? I went, oh, my God, I know these. Cool. Then he played a song I didn't know, but my wife knew it.
What?
The song is called Firework by Katy Perry.
Oh yeah,
and so all
you don't know that song?
No, I don't know Katy. I don't know one Katy Perry song. Maybe the Roar song, but
it's like a ginormous hit.
Not to me, but she knew it. So everybody who was there, it was parents. They all knew it.
Everybody knows it
except me. That's the only song I didn't know.
Wow, because that's like one of her huge early huge hits.
Yeah. Getting back to when I was talking, the only thing I talked to Jason about was I told him I missed the show he did with Jeff Scott Soto, and we discussed how great Jeff Scott Soto is.
Yeah.
And I go, I love singing, but that Jeff Scott Soto makes me sound bad. I said, no, Jason, you're a great singer, but he's just an enormous singer. He's unbelievable. So my wife's like, who's Jeff Scott Soto? And like, I said, next time you guys come, because Jeff does a lot of dates with Jason.
Especially, oh, really?
Especially on the East Coast. So.
What?
Yeah. Mostly,
I'm on the East Coast.
Mostly Florida. I think he's got New York dates. I think if he's anywhere near you within 4 hours, go see him, especially with Jeff, and take your wife with you, because my wife didn't know any of the songs, but she loved it. She's going, this guy's a great guitar player, and this guy can really sing. And, I mean, he's right in front of us, and he was perfect hitting all the notes. So I think your wife would love it, too. And I encourage anybody, if they're not even Saigon Kick fans, go out to see Jeff and Jason together, or even Jason by himself. There's videos posted on the internet all over the place. They're phenomenal. Just amazing.
Wow, I would totally drive to New York or D.C., Philly, Baltimore.
Yeah, check his website because I know he plays New York quite a bit. Like the Iridium, I mean, just little small clubs.
I know. I've seen dates in Florida, and I keep looking because I go to Florida. You know, like I'm going in November and then again in January.
Yeah, because I think he plays Tampa a lot. So I think he might live.
I think that's where he lives.
So yeah, and they were Miami based band. So yeah, and he's all over social media. He'll even talk to you if you ask him a question. He'll respond to you right away. And I got a picture taken with him. I posted it on. So you want to see my ugly mug next to Jason's though?
Yeah, I saw that. His beard is quite impressive.
Yeah, the guy is amazing talent. I wish more people knew about him.
Yeah.
So the two people I saw at the Hotel Cafe was Butch Walker and Jason Bueller. Both musical geniuses. Both great at what they do.
Oh, totally.
More people should know and write with Jason.
That's awesome. I would love to have seen that show.
Yeah. And you'll get a chance because he's doing it a lot. I mean, and the last.
If he plays Jeff Scott Soto, I'd be all over that.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, go on the internet, though. There's videos of those two singing together. It's mind-blowing. And the last song he did was one of his solo songs, which is a really catchy song that I really like. It's called Fuck You, It's Christmas. and you know, it's got the lyric in there, but it's a really good song.
Nice.
And you'll be singing in your head, and he's got a cleaned up version of this. It's like, F you, it's Christmas. But I don't know if I sent that. You might have it, but I have.
I don't think so.
He releases a lot of stuff on his own. If you follow him, he'll write a song and produce it himself, and he'll put it out. He'll sell it to you for a dollar. He's got like, I would say close to 100 songs that he just does that. He'll make up a song, record it, and put it out there. So,
wow.
A lot of good stuff, and that's a really good song. It would be a hit if he changed the lyric a little bit, but it's funny. It's got a good melody. Yeah. So he ended with that. So it was a short set because, you know, there was another act coming on at 8 o'clock. So it was one of those last minute things. So if you get a chance, go see Jason Bueller. And Jonathan Mover was pretty cool, and he was really good.
Man. So, I'm gonna look it up after we get off here.
Yeah, and literally there was 22 people, including the bartender there, and we were all right there. And he was talking to each one of us, these tables, and people were recording him talking. I mean, he was just real friendly, and man, the guy's unbelievable.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So
he played acoustic the whole time.
Yep. Sitting next to each other playing the acoustic, and you could just see his fingers just flying like it's nothing.
Yeah.
And just the vocals were amazing. I mean, I always thought he was a better singer than Matt Kramer ever was in Saigon King.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing about them is it was kind of a dual vocal. Most of their vocals were, you know, singing harmony the whole time.
Yeah.
Not just those.
Yeah, it's Jason's ones that really stands out. But it's weird. The last time I saw Saigon King playing, Jason didn't sing at all. Matt sang everything, and it didn't sound right. I don't know why he was.
Didn't even sing like the harmonies?
Nothing. Nothing. They didn't have either he was sick or they made a deal with Matt to bring him back, and Matt handled all the vocals, and it just didn't sound right.
I'll come back if I'm the only singer.
Yeah. Well, he left because he wasn't writing anything. Jason wrote everything. So Jason made all the money. So.
Well, hey.
Start writing.
Bring in some songs.
Yeah, and it really works with the two vocals together really works. But it's Jason's. He's the star of that band.
Oh, yeah.
But some people just couldn't handle it, I guess. I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah, and on that note, go see him. Go check out his music. Go see him on, you know, social media. The guy is really funny. Really funny. So.
And if you're not into Saigon Cake at all, definitely check them out. They're such a cool band. So good.
All 5 albums.
Yeah, all 5.
Yep. And on that note, good night.